Ready to level up your world? Get the MetaQuest 3S, available now at Harvey Norman. With a lightweight and wireless design, you can transform any room into a theater, playground, or hangout spot with friends. Enjoy lightning-fast load times and improved battery life, and the power to blend virtual objects with your physical space, so you can experience two worlds at once. MetaQuest 3, starting at $498 at Harvey Norman. Go, Harvey, go.
You're listening to SBS News.
As US President Donald Trump warns of a big wave of further attacks on Iran, the UN Security Council is under pressure to act over the US and Israel strikes. Iran's UN ambassador, Amir Saeedi Elevani, says the strikes at the weekend were unlawful, a position shared by many international law experts. So what are the facts? Dr. Tamer Morris is a senior lecturer at the University of Sydney, and he's speaking with SBS reporter Rayan Tamer, who asked him what international law says about the Israel-US strikes on Iran.
So the attacks that occurred are a clear violation of international law. And so since kind of the introduction of the UN Charter, we have an absolute prohibition on the use of force when it comes to international relations, except for two very narrow kind of exceptions. One is the right of self-defense, but against an imminent armed attack. And the other one is what is known as collective security, which is kind of approval by the Security Council. And so the United States and Israel decided not to go to the Security Council or the United Nations, so they bypassed that one, so they can't legally rely on that one. What they have tried to rely on, specifically President Trump, is using the word imminent constantly because they have the right of self-defense against an imminent threat. But unfortunately, Iran was not an imminent threat under its kind of legal understanding, specifically because the United States has already attacked Iraq and said to us that they don't have any nuclear weapons. And so if they don't have nuclear weapons, what is then the current threat? And all the evidence shows us that there was no actual imminent threat. There could be maybe down the track, but currently there isn't, specifically because the United States and Iran were negotiating kind of a deal about their nuclear kind of, armament. And so, so they don't have that legal argument. And so because of that, it becomes completely illegal and violating this prohibition on the use of force.
What do you make of the way in which other Western nations have tried to skirt around the conversations around international law and the legality of these strikes?
This is probably the biggest problem. And so while states do break the law, international law relies on states to call violations and then to react to those violations. A lot of people argue, how do we enforce international law? The easiest way to enforce international law is for other states to stop trading with states. And so the kind of the current system we have, it needs states to call violations and then to react to those violations for states to adhere to the law. Unfortunately, what we've seen now is an absolute double standard where Western states are refusing to call out violations of the law when it comes to what they consider to be their allies. And the perfect example was this one. Specifically, the Australian government was first to come out and say they support what happens, what the United States has done. But then when questioned, specifically Minister Wong, whether this is illegal, she just said, oh, well, that's up to the United States and Israel to prove and not up to us. And that's incorrect. Legally, all states have an obligation not to support and then to do everything in their power to stop violations of what is known as an absolute norm or a Juice Kogan's norm, which is what this is. So violating this absolutely fundamental norm, Australia, Europe has an obligation to call it out, not to support it, and then to do everything in their power to stop it. And so for the Australian government to go, well, it doesn't really matter. It's actually very important. And the problem is, to kind of not give a long-winded answer, but we're now setting precedents saying that this was legal. And so a lot of international law is decided by what is known as a subsequent state practice. And so how the states react, how the states believe to be something legal or illegal. And so for us, specifically middle powers who rely on international law to protect us, is now kind of forfeiting that because we're saying, well, this is the kind of legal, this is allowed, we're supporting it. And so then in the future, we can't turn around and try to rely on it. And so it is very important for states to call out violations of international law in order to protect the law for future circumstances and not set a bad precedent.
We now know what our role is as a middle power in terms of trying to uphold international law. What about in the event, and the coalition has not ruled this out, what about in the event of Australia assisting the US in losing its bases? Would we fall foul of international law ourselves?
Yeah, so, for example, the UK has just come out now and said that they were allowing their kind of bases to be used, but they themselves are not participating. Unfortunately, that's not how the obligation works. So as I said, we have an obligation not only to call it, but we also have an obligation not to support it and not to kind of, and we're supposed to do all our power to stop it. So allowing your base, allowing your intelligence, allowing anything to be used for the continuing update of that violation also is a violation of the Australian government. So if the Australian government does anything actively to support the US, logistically, weapons-wise, yeah, then we are also in violation of supporting that breach. And so we have to also ensure, and this is why I thought it was interesting that the Australian government said, well, we don't know if it's legal or illegal. Well, no, that's an important thing to understand, because if it is illegal, which all the international laws have said it is, then Australia can provide zero support for this violation, because any support would also make us legally liable.
What about just orally? What about just the verbal support?
So look, orally is still a problem. It's not as, consequential-wise, not as dramatic as, you know, giving them logistical support or base support. But it still violates the law, because the law is very clear that no state is supposed to support this, even verbally, by coming out and saying, we're fine with this. And as I said, for me, the legal consequence for Australia is expanding the definition of imminence and expanding the exception to the use of force, which could then come back and affect us in our international relations with other states. And so Australia has to be very careful not to expand that definition for our own safety and our own protection.
The next generation of Ray-Ban Meta is here. The Wayfarer Gen 2 AI glasses, now at Harvey Norman. Capture life hands-free with an ultra-wide 12-megapixel camera shooting bold photos and 3K video. Enjoy open-ear audio for music, calls and podcasts while staying aware of your surroundings. With Meta AI, get answers, capture content and navigate your day using only your voice. Plus, enjoy up to 8 hours of battery life. Ray-Ban Meta Wayfarer Gen 2, starting at $598 at Harvey Norman. Go!